Well, welcome again. So good to have everybody here. By the way, do you know what In Excelsis Deo means? Anybody know? It's Latin. Did you know that? It means glory to God in the highest. It's taken from the angels. Yes. Glory to God in the highest. In Excelsis Deo. That's extra today. You don't have to pay for that, okay? All right. Before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me again in talking to the God of the Word? Father, we turn now to your Word. We open our hearts to hear the message you have for us. Speak to us. Enlighten our eyes. Send your Holy Spirit to open the ears of our heart that we might respond with obedience and love and joy. So we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Have you ever been to a hospital nursery? Yes. Okay. You know how you can tell which fathers are the first-time fathers? They are videoing everything with their smartphones, right? Everything. Or their nose is up against the glass, right? Yeah, the second and third time fathers are just leaning against the wall, kind of looking, yeah. Another parenting ritual, besides all the pictures and videos today, is the baby book, right? The baby book. How many of you kept a baby book for your babies? At least the first one? At least the first one. Less than the last with the, yeah, the subsequent one. That's right. You know, if you look at a baby book, there's usually a place for the names of the parents, the grandparents, the date, the doctor, the hospital, right? There's a place for a baby picture, maybe even a place for a lock of the hair, and a place to put headlines from the paper sometimes, right? All these tell the story of who the baby is and the circumstances, the events around the time of their birth, right? Well, today is the last Sunday of Advent, a time of celebration for the preparation of Christ's birth, right? But who was this baby Jesus? What makes him so special that his birthday is, as I told you before, the basis for our calendars, right? And it's the biggest celebration of the year. Would you agree with me on that? Yes, especially for retailers. Biggest celebration of the year. All right. So who was this baby Jesus? You and I need to know. If he just became another man, then his life doesn't make much difference. But if he is something more, someone who can change your life for eternity and help you live a better life now, then you need to know. Well, for answers for these questions, we need to look at God's baby book. And God's baby book for Jesus is found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. The first chapter of Matthew begins with the human family tree of Jesus Christ, and it's followed by an account of his birth. I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. And look with me at the first words that follow the family tree. We're going to read Matthew 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. What a remarkable account of the beginning of Jesus' life. There is no doubt that Jesus Christ was a man. His family tree, the genealogy, is absolute proof of that. The Bible tells us he was descended from Abraham through Abraham's great descendant, King David. Jesus is as human as you and me. Yet there is something more that needs to be said. Matthew writes about a man, but it is a man born without the benefit of a human father. The Bible says that the father's part in the conception was taken over by the Holy Spirit of God. No one in the whole history of the human race was ever conceived this way, either before or since. So Matthew is writing to tell us of one who was as different from us by the beginning of his earthly life as he was by the end of his earthly life. So who is this baby Jesus? The Christmas carol that we hear at this time of year asks that question. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? What child is this? Well, now, where should we go for an answer to that question? Should we ask theologians? Well, sadly, theologians don't help us much because they all seem to disagree. Some see a divine Jesus, some see merely a human one, and some see it all as just a big myth. Should we ask the Pharisees or the scribes in the Christmas story? Maybe they can tell us. How about King Herod? But they too are just mere men, perhaps even less informed than the theologians. So let us be done with these lesser persons and let's turn to those who ought to know. Let us ask those who in fact appear in the Christmas story for the very purpose of answering our question. Let's ask the angels in the Christmas story. Let us ask them, who is this child? The first angel who can help us understand Jesus' identity is the angel Gabriel. Gabriel, the angel of God, appears at least twice in the Christmas story. The first time he announces the birth of John to Zechariah. The second time he appears to announce the birth of Jesus to Mary. And it's the second announcement that answers our question, what child is this? And Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33 tells us, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.'" So according to the angel Gabriel, who is this baby Jesus? According to Gabriel, Jesus is the very Son of God. Each pronouncement of the angel must have struck Mary as quite remarkable. First of all, she was of humble origin, but the angel said that he would be great. She was a commoner, but he would reign on the throne of his father David for how long? Forever. Everyone knew that God had promised David that he would have an heir to reign on his throne forever, but that had not happened yet. In Mary's day, the house of David had been cast aside, and a foreigner named Herod sat on the throne and ruled the land. Now, if Gabriel was right, the long wait of the Jewish people was over, and their Messiah had come. Mary's future child was that Messiah. All of that was remarkable enough, but it wasn't the most remarkable part. The most astonishing thing of all was that the child was to be the Son of the Most High. The Son of the Most High. In other words, the child was to be God's offspring in a way that no other person has ever been or ever will be. And he wasn't just the son of a god like Zeus or Apollo, because there were stories about how they had had children. He was the son of the Most High God. Do you believe that Jesus is really God's son today? Do you really believe that? Some believe that Jesus was just another good man or a prophet. They believe that he was just like you and me. But what you believe about Jesus on this one issue determines your relationship with God. In fact, the Apostle John says that he said that if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Jesus as the Son of God became the confession by which you could tell whether or not somebody was actually a Christian. So the first angel to help us understand Jesus' identity was the angel Gabriel. When Gabriel told Mary that her future child would be the Son of the Most High, he was saying that this child would be God in flesh. The second angel who can help us with Jesus' identity is Joseph's angel. Matthew tells about this in the first chapter of Matthew, verses 18 to 24. Matthew 1:18 says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Now, this angel may have been Gabriel, but he's not named here in the account. He does, however, tell Joseph and us something very important about Jesus. According to Joseph's angel, who is this baby? It is Jesus, Jehovah, the God of Israel. That's what he tells us. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah saves. It's a testimony to the truth of the prophet Jonah that salvation comes from the Lord. Now, this was a fairly common name. Joshua is a variant of the name Jesus. So it's not unusual that they would give him this name. But this name is in part an explanation of what is happening. God is personally at work in and through this baby. But Jehovah Saves can't be the full meaning of the name in Matthew. Right after giving the child the name Jehovah Saves, or the name Jesus, the angel goes on to say he will save his people from their sins. In other words, this child, is Jehovah God. Jehovah is that English translation of that Hebrew special name for God that you always see in capitals, L-O-R-D in capitals in the Old Testament. That means that Jesus is not just a God. He is the God that the Jews worshipped and prayed to in the Old Testament. Jesus is the one who spoke to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's the one who appeared to Moses and Isaiah. Matthew confirmed this revelation to Joseph as he continues the story. He writes that this happened to fulfill what God had prophesied through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God with us. So Gabriel told Mary that her son would be divine, God in human flesh. And then the angel told Joseph that Mary's son would not only be divine, but he was none less than the God of Israel himself. Now, all this seems fantastic and unbelievable. Yet there's a third angel witness that confirms the first two. This third angel who helps us understand Jesus' identity is the shepherd's angel. The shepherd's angel, if anyone should know who Mary's child is, it is the angels, right? God's messengers. Another angel appeared to the shepherds as they watched their sheep in the field around Bethlehem. Look what the angel said in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." So according to this angel, Jesus is Christ the Lord. This is one of the most significant texts in the New Testament because through a very small grammatical detail, two words give the fullest possible testimony to Jesus' divinity. And I know some of you loved grammar in school, right? But sometimes it serves us well. When the angels said to the shepherds that the child born in Bethlehem was Christ the Lord, when he said that, the language he chose made those two words equivalent. Now, most people have heard that the New Testament was written in the language called Greek. Well, in the form that these words take leaves no doubt about what the angel meant to say. If he had used a slightly different form, it would have meant the Lord's Christ. In other words, the Lord's Messiah or the Lord's anointed ruler. That would have been an appropriate way to refer to anyone chosen for a special task in Israel that the prophet would have anointed him for. King David could rightly have been called the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's Messiah, or Anointed One. But that's not how the angel put it. The angel chose a form which meant Christ the Lord, and that means Christ who is the Lord. Christ who is the Lord. The words mean that he who by this time had already been born of Mary was not merely the Anointed One of God, but he was actually God in human form. Isn't that amazing? So let's review. Gabriel appeared to Mary and announced that the child was to be God's son. The angel who told appeared to Joseph said that he would be Jehovah who saves. And then the angel who appeared to the shepherds said that he is Christ the Lord. Three angels, three testimonies. And all three testimonies agree on one thing, that Jesus is our God, folks. Jesus is our God. There is, however, one more person that we want to ask about this matter. You say, now who would that be? Let's ask the Father himself. When there's doubt, we ask, are you the father of the child? So let's ask God the Father. Jesus has been declared to be the unique child of God by three angels. We are inclined to believe angels, are we not? But what of the Father? What does he say? Does he claim Jesus of Nazareth as his son? Indeed he does. God said, Jesus is my son. Direct testimony of this is not given here in the Christmas story, however, but everything there does agree with it, that he comes from God, to us from God. Instead, we have to wait 30 years when Jesus is beginning his ministry to hear from the Father. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus presents himself to John for baptism. At the moment that Jesus came up out of the water, the Bible says that heaven was opened, the Spirit of God descended on like a dove on him, and a voice from heaven was heard. And what did the voice from heaven say? It said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." It was the voice of God, the Father's own testimony. The angels had announced this truth, and now the Father himself confirms it. What does the Bible say? The mouth of two or three witnesses, right? And those of the greatest and most trustworthy character, by their testimony, Jesus' rightful position as the Son of God was forever established. All right? So you might say, well, okay, why does it matter? Well, let me ask you this question. What will you celebrate? What will you celebrate this Christmas? What will you celebrate? Will you celebrate the birth of a baby? Yes, but Christmas is so much more than that, isn't it? It is nothing less than God becoming flesh to change the course of human history forever, to take history and to make it his story. I like that. You've probably heard that before. History is his story now. Christmas is a celebration of the fact that God came to earth in person, to save us, to be our Savior. You know what that means? It means he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. As I've told you before, Christianity is the only religion on earth that has a Savior. All the rest of them, you got to do it yourself. You know, when I first realized what Christmas was all about, that Jesus came to save me, it changed my life forever. It changed Christmas for me forever. Will your family's Christmas focus on the amazing truth of who Jesus is? Now, if you're honest with me, you'll admit that it could happen, but only with a superhuman effort. Right? Why? Because so much of the focus of our Christmas celebrations in our culture is on someone else. Very innocently, very gradually, even Christians have shifted the focus of Christmas from Jesus, God's greatest gift, to someone else. In many homes this year, the focus is on who? Santa and his gifts. In fact, in most homes, Christmas is a bigger deal than birthdays. Santa has become the star of Christmas. But I believe the real St. Nicholas knows what Christmas is really all about, and we'd be more likely to be seen kneeling like this than with a bag of toys under a tree. Maybe you've seen this. I love this. I've seen it as ornaments. I've also seen it as statues where Santa is kneeling by the manger. If you think I'm passionate about this, you're right. Why? Because I'm passionate about Jesus. God said in Isaiah 42, verse 8, "I will not give my glory to someone else." And I want all the glory to go to Jesus that belongs to him, especially at this time of year. It's great to celebrate winter. I love the snowmen and I love all the sleigh bells and all that stuff. That's wonderful. But Christmas is about Jesus. And this is the time to let that shine. The sad truth is that many children in this town will be more excited about having Santa in their home on Christmas Eve than about having Jesus in their heart on Christmas Day. And that's sad. Now, I know I might be ruffling some feathers. There are some who have accused me of spoiling a harmless tradition, but as a pastor, I'll make no apology for trying to point you to Jesus, who, as the angel said, is God with us. And Dad and Mom and Grandpa and Grandma, that's your job and your family too, to point them to Jesus. Here's how I like to do it with my family. We've always tried to read the story of the first Christmas, the Nativity, with our children and grandchildren. We'll talk about the Nativity and about Jesus coming. We have an Advent calendar. I share that with you in another week, where they just love to open those little doors and read the Christmas story. I don't get the one with chocolate. I get the one with a Christmas story in it. And then we'll talk about how the Christmas tree can point us to Jesus. We did that last year if you were here. Only one thing remains to be done. We don't need any more witnesses. We just need to humbly add our own confession to God's own confession. Is this child of Christmas God's son? Is he God with us? People need to hear that. Now, I like statistics. They're very interesting. 15 years ago, 82% of Americans believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Now, you know how many it is? 60%. But what's really interesting is that 20% of Jewish millennials believe that Jesus was God's son. Isn't that fascinating? The real question is, will you and I recognize him as the Son of God and Lord of all? If we do, we can worship him for who he really is. But more than that, let's show our obedience of our lives that he is our Lord and our God. Thomas did it. You remember Thomas the disciple? Thomas believed in Jesus. He would have said amen to Peter's confession when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thomas went right there. "Yes, that's right. Amen. You preach it, Peter." But things did not go as Thomas had expected. The day came when Jesus was crucified, an outcome totally unexpected by Thomas and the other disciples. His world was shattered. Thomas, you could say, was not certain what he believed. So 3 days later, when someone said that Jesus was raised from the dead, Thomas couldn't believe it. At this point in his life, Thomas's creed would have been given in 4 words: dead men don't rise. Dead men don't rise. But Jesus had risen, whether Thomas believed it or not. And the day came when Jesus appeared to Thomas himself and presented himself to Thomas for examination. And Thomas, who a moment before had been a total skeptic, fell down before him and said, "My Lord and my God." Perhaps things have not gone in your life as you expected. Maybe like Thomas, you've seen tragedy or illness or the death of someone dear. Maybe you've strayed from God. Maybe your love has grown cold. Maybe you're skeptical about spiritual things. With Thomas, you might call yourself a realist. Come with me to the manger. Listen to the angels' voices. Listen to the voice of the Father. And then here's what you must do. Be honest and admit your doubt. And then confess Jesus to be God. And more than that, to be your God and your Lord and your Savior. Say with the centurion at the crucifixion, "Surely he was the Son of God." Like Paul on the road to Damascus, acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. "Who are you, Lord?" he said. And then confess him as Thomas did when he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Will you do that? Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin and mine so that we could be forgiven. Forgiven. We don't have to pay for our sins. He paid a debt he didn't owe. We owed the debt we couldn't pay, and he paid it for us. He wants to forgive you. He loves you. He always have, and he will forgive you. And for the first time, you will feel forgiven when Jesus forgives you. Maybe you're here and you say, "Well, Pastor, I'm already a Christian." Let me ask you this. Is Jesus still in charge of your life? Is he still calling the shots? Is he your Lord? That's what Lord means. If not, do you need to repent of something to come back to him? He loves you. He's patiently waiting. If he is Lord of your life, then like the angels, who can you tell about it? And not just this week, but all year long, people need to hear about a Savior who loves them and forgives them. And so the song asks, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping?" The hymn writer knew, because the hymn goes on to say, This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, that loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the babe, the Son of Mary. Friends, if you meet me and you forget about me and who I am, you will not have missed much in life. But if you meet Jesus Christ and forget Him, you'll miss out on everything that's important in life. For the Christian, Christmas is about so much more than a baby in a manger. It's about Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who is Christ the Lord. Only you can keep Christ in your Christmas. And I hope that we will all say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this amazing gift, the gift of a Savior. Lord, this week in our family gatherings, in our gift giving and exchanges, may we be reminded of your gift and use it to point others to the greatest gift ever given, the gift of a Savior. And may we complete the gift exchange by giving to you the gift that you truly want, the gift of our hearts and our lives, that we might serve you in the coming year, should Jesus tarry. For we pray in His name. Amen.